been given the opportunity to speak on behalf of the congregation about a subject that, something that we've all heard about before, and it's nothing new. Of course, as we know, there's nothing new under the sun that hasn't been discussed at some point or another when it comes to God's Word. I'm not going to profess this afternoon that anything I'm going to be saying or presenting is going to in any way reveal any mysteries of God's Word in any way. Anything that's said may or may not be profound in your individual life, but I do believe that what is going to be said this afternoon, if anything, will just be a way for us to have something brought back into our minds and maybe help us to focus on this particular subject. For this afternoon, we're going to be talking about not focusing necessarily on the Word of God, but the Word of the devil. And what I mean by that is in regards to the things that we may say or do in our lives today, there are four things that we want to focus on and make sure that what we're saying is correct, appropriate, and that we are not using what we say to further the ideology or the goal of the devil and why he is, what his purpose is. And it can be, I guess it can be basically simplified to the four D's. The things that we say and the reason why we may be talking to an individual. Are we speaking to divide? Are we speaking to discourage? Are we speaking to destroy? Or are we speaking to deceive? If what we're trying to say, and maybe the opinion that we may be expressing to an individual or to a crowd or to whatever the case may be in conversation, if our goal is to achieve one or all four of these, we are quoting the word of the devil. We need to consider the words of our mouths. It is wrong to use our tongue for gossip. Rather, we should use our mouths for good. We should talk with God. We should pray for others. And we should speak of His Word. As David, a man after God's own heart, prayed in Psalms 19, verse 14, says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Our words reflect the meditation of our hearts. The tongue is a little member. And the Bible tells us in James chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, "The tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell." Luke chapter 16, verse 24 reads, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flame." The things that we say matter, whether it be for good or whether not. We're in a unique time. Unique in some ways and in some other ways, nothing new is going on. There's been a lot of conflict. There's been a lot of turmoil throughout the history of man, throughout God's creation since He created us. There's always been conflict. There's always been trials. There's always been temptations. And yet in our lifetime, it seems that this may be the first of many things that we've experienced. Whether it be division between good and evil, whether it be division between rich and poor, division between black or white, division between Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter. There's great division in these times. And with great division comes different opinions. And there are many of those in the world, there are many of us ourselves that try to express our opinion based on this division that we have. And the opinions vary greatly. But as those who express their opinions and as people discuss their opinions with one another, it goes back to those four D's. Is what we're saying helping the divide? Is what we're saying helping to discourage? Is what we are saying helping to destroy? And what we're saying helping to deceive others? Gossip can be defined as idle talk or writing about another person or situation, regardless of fact. It can also be defined as a malicious or slanderous talk or writing about another person or situation with desire and intention to hurt them. It can also be defined as talk or writing about another person or situation in order to turn others or another's opinion against that person or situation. Gossip can be truth or falsehood, but it is still gossip. And I think this is something as a society or as individuals, we may not realize. We may realize that we may know the truth, and it may be 100% truth. And there may be others that don't believe the way we do. And for some reason, it seems like maybe human nature in a way, where we feel that if we know the truth and someone doesn't, we have to force it upon them. Now, of course, when it comes to spreading God's word, we know it to be the truth. And we know we are commanded to spread it and to help others and to bring others to the calling and to bring others closer to God. This isn't what I'm referring to. I'm referring to trivial matters. Matters that whether the person knows the truth or not wouldn't affect their salvation. I'm talking about worldly matters. Things that are going on right now are a big deal. But we need to focus on, as we talk to others about these situations, what is the reason for our conversation? Is it to help ease the pain of others that are suffering through these times? Is it to help spread joy or love? Tale-bearing can be defined as a negative story, a false report, or gossip. It can be defined as one who spitefully informs against another. Yet when we yield to the love of the truth, it produces. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25, it reads, "The fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust." We need to note gossip is not listed as a fruit of the Spirit. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, 24, 26, and 28, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold to the hold the truth in unrighteousness. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, or a depraved mind, willingly, knowingly give themselves to do those things which are not convenient." So moving on, let's stop and think about the traveling companions of gossip. Some of the other things that coincide with gossip. The Bible lists whisperers and backbiters, or those who gossip, along with those who are, in Romans chapter 1, verse 29 and 31, it says, "filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, and unmerciful. So in that list of all those terrible things, in the middle of that list are such things as whisperers and backbiters. This known also in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 5, it says that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Turn away from false accusers, and we should turn away from malicious gossips. Paul further tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, and with all they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. It is written in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So what is a reason for gossip? What is a reason for talking and creating these type of situations? Well, for the most part, they could probably be narrowed down to five. Five main reasons that people gossip. One is pride. Two, bitterness, hostility, anger, resentment. Thus, find someone to vent their inner feelings on. Number three would be low self-esteem, or the desire to pull others around them down to their level. Number four, purposeful attempt to destroy someone, motivated by jealousy. And number five, to influence our peers, joining the crowd for acceptance. Now, we all know that there are consequences to our actions. There are consequences to the things that we do, whether they be good or bad. And there are consequences of gossip. The one who is spoken against can receive hurt or pain. They could receive embarrassment. It could damage their character or reputation. And it is destructive and causes division. The one who gossips reveals the true nature of their heart. As it is written in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, it says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. The mouth speaks of what is found in our hearts, revealing that sin is in control. The Apostle Paul warns in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 8, Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We may reap more than what we have sown. Like a boomerang, it always comes back to us. In Proverbs 19 and 9, it's written, A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Proverbs 12 and 18, There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but to the tongue of the wise is health. Reckless words pierce like a sword, it is written in the New International Version, which drives godly people away. Also in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22, it says, Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Now the third party, or the person that's hearing the gossip, may not even be in the conversation, can become confused and influenced in the wrong manner. They may repeat the error and get caught up in it. You can imagine, we're taught that we are to be a good example. And when we are taught about being an example to others, very often, most every time that subject comes up, there's always that phrase about, you never know who's watching. You never know who's listening. Oftentimes, the subject matter of our conversations, the way we hold conversations, the way we may gossip, we may think of how it affects us. We may even think about the way it affects the individual we're talking to. But very rarely do we consider how it affects anyone that may just be listening. We have three cautions. We are told that we do not associate with a person who is a gossip. In Proverbs 20:19, it says, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. We are also cautioned to conceal the matter, that we need to keep it to ourselves. In Proverbs 11:13, it says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. We are also to let no unwholesome words proceed out of our mouths. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Our words should promote healing. Our words should minister grace to build up and edify those who can hear. Words such as, I love you, or I'm praying for you, and I will stand by you. These are the words that we should speak. Now we know we are an imperfect people. We know that there are going to be times where we may get caught up in a conversation. We may get caught up in a situation where someone asks us, what do you think about this? It's very difficult for us to keep our opinions to ourselves. Some have mastered it. Some are in the process of attempting to master it. And there are some others that really could care less. So in the event, if we happen to take part in a situation like this, what do we do if we gossip? Well, we are told that we are to have genuine repentance. We are to ask for forgiveness. We should make a commitment to ourselves, to our peers, to God. We should commit ourselves to, even though it may be difficult, seal our lips. Guard our mouth to think before we speak. And also, another way to help us, maybe to memorize God's Word in this particular case. Memorize some verses that we may know so that when these situations arise, the first thing that enters our mind is the Word of God. Like Psalm 19:14, as mentioned before, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the ears. And finally, Matthew chapter 7:12. This is from the NIV version. And everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. I know it's an amazing concept. And I know we're all taught that as a young child. But it stands firm in principle. In closing, now this lesson is not a new lesson. This is a lesson that I have given before, but like many of the basic, simple lessons that we've heard in this pulpit before, I think that there's always something that we can glean from it. And it's always good to have a reminder now and then. Now, when I was 17, Brother Cullen Smith shared a CD of a cappella music with me. And it was by a group called Vocal Union. And I had since lost the CD, and therefore a span of several years, I couldn't remember who it was that made the CD, so I couldn't really look it up. But I would listen to them off and on throughout the years until I lost the CD. Well, when I originally put this lesson together, I had just recently started listening to them more often because I had figured out who they were, and created a Pandora station on my phone to where it actually plays similar music and things of this nature. And I was sharing this with Dad not too long ago, and this is now how he is finding music that he enjoys as well. And there was this one song that he really liked, mostly because of the bass singer. You know, he really likes the bass sound. And the name of the song was called The Rumor Mill. And before we close, I'd like to just kind of quote the lyrics to that song. And the song goes, "Let me tell you a story about a local enterprise. There's one in every town, no matter what its size. It doesn't turn a profit or bring in any revenue. It's good for one thing, and that's the damage it'll do. It's called the rumor mill. Yes, the rumor mill. If it can be twisted, you can be sure that it will, because there isn't nothing scared. There ain't nothing sacred, not at all, at the rumor mill. The people that work there are all volunteers. The only qualification is a mouth and 2 ears. If the story's not clear enough, well, that's okay. They'll just doctor it up and then send it on its way. It doesn't matter who's involved or who it's going to hurt. As long as folks are listening, they'll keep shoveling the dirt. At the rumor mill. At the rumor mill, they're manufacturing lies. At the rumor mill, where the truth is disguised. At the rumor mill, where reputations are crushed. At the rumor mill, and where nothing is hushed. If it can be twisted, you can be sure that it will. Because there isn't anything sacred, no, none at all, at the rumor mill. Now you listen, my children, to this warning I make. You've got a lot to lose. There's a lot here at stake. The Bible plainly states you're going to reap what you sow, and you'll be shown mercy by the mercy you show. So hush your mouth and ask your friends to kindly do the same, or you'll wind up a victim with no one else to blame at the rumor mill." Are the conversations we're having beneficial to those who are involved? Are the things that we are saying to others going to cause someone to stumble? Are we speaking to discourage? Are we speaking to be deceitful? Are we speaking to hurt? Or are we speaking to be kind? Are we speaking to minister to others? Are we speaking to spread love? This is something we should all take in consideration. Now, I can tell you, just like most times, as I preach, typically I'm preaching to myself. And y'all just get to be the audience. We are not perfect. There are going to be times where we stumble and get caught up in the conversations. But we should always focus on what we're saying and why. At this time, we do want to offer an invitation to any of those who are subject to the gospel call, or for any of those who wish to receive the prayers of the church, whatever the case may be, please come as we stand and sing.